in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
His name. I say the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Just go ahead and worship him. Mando burasa balagida sa, live rondo sketi la barakatia. His presence is in our midst. Come on, acknowledge him. Come on, celebrate him. Adore him. Honor him. Manda bura sida kabadia. Worship him in the beauty of his holiness. Come on, reference him. Adore him. Manda bosha. Give him the glory that is due to his name. Mandi bura bura palatania. And I sing praises to your name. Worship him from the depth of your heart.
Oh, Lord, oh, your name is,
oh, your name is great and greatly to be praised.
Oh,
I sing praises.
worship you, we adore you, we celebrate you, we welcome your presence, we honor your presence, we reference your presence. Thank you, Father. Let our hearts and mind be open to receive your word, your engrafted word, which is able to change, transform, heal, save, deliver. Thank you, Father. Move us from grace to grace. Move us from strength to strength. Take us from glory to glory. We give you the praise. Help us to encounter you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You're welcome to day 13 of our mid-year mega harvest fasting and prayer. We barely have just tomorrow to go. And tomorrow will be the grand finale. Don't miss glory service for anything under the sun. The Lord has told us He's coming big for us. It's going to be a day of divine visitation for us. For us as individuals, for us as a ministry and as a family. Nobody ever encounters God and remains the same. Just like you can't touch water and not be wet. You can't be in the presence of Jesus. You can't encounter Him and not be transformed. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've been looking at a very powerful teaching series, Encounters with the Lord of the Harvest. How many of you have been blessed by this teaching series? Oh, me, I've been so blessed. Oh, glory to God. Encounters with the Lord of the Harvest. Job chapter 42 verse 5. Job 42 verse 5. He said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. I have heard of thee. I have heard of thee. It is one thing to hear about God. It is one thing to know about God. Then it is another thing entirely to know Him experientially. It is a different matter entirely to know Him in reality. Am I communicating? Many Christians know about God, but they are yet to know God in reality, experientially. And I told you that God can be known. And it is through encounters that we get to know God. The names of God given to us in scriptures are a revelation. They are a revelation of unique dimensions of Him that were experienced, that were encountered by the patriarchs, by the saints of old. Am I communicating? Mandobola Balataya. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. Now my eyes see thee. You may doubt what you heard about God or about something, but you cannot doubt what your eyes saw. No wonder in Acts chapter 4 verse 20, Peter and John, look at what they said. They said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and the things which we have heard. That's the definition of a true witness. You know, Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive power. Jesus said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Beginning from Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then unto the ends of the earth. A witness is one who has encountered God. You can't witness for Christ without knowing Him through encounters. Am I communicating? Look at when Peter and John were threatened not to preach or teach again in the name of Jesus. Look at what they replied the high priest and the Sanhedrin council. They say, we cannot but speak. Acts 4 verse 20. We cannot but speak. No amount of threat can stop us from preaching. Why? Because they have encountered Him. Am I communicating? We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Look at their testimony. We cannot but speak.
Why are many Christians not preaching the gospel? Why are many Christians not talking to others about Jesus? Why are many Christians afraid to speak about him? It's because they have not yet encountered him in reality. All they know about God is what they were told. So it's still a reported speech. They only know God in theory. To them, religion has presented a theoretical God, as if God is one abstract theoretical concept. Am I communicating? God is a real personality, and he wants you to have a real relationship and fellowship with him. God is real. God can be experienced in reality. God can be fellowship with. Am I communicating? Scripture is replete with stories of men that walk with God. The Bible says, and Enoch walked with God until he was caught up. Am I communicating? God is not an abstract theory to be explained away. God is a real personality, and he desires fellowship with his children. It can be experienced. It can be known. I told you that God reveals himself to us dimensionally and progressively through encounters. Encounters in his word and encounters that the Holy Ghost gives to us. Am I communicating? God can be known. Though it will take all of eternity. In fact, throughout all of eternity, we will keep learning new things about him. We'll keep seeing new dimensions of him. Am I communicating? But God is not all that mysterious, such that we can never know him. Do you know Christianity is the only faith of all the religion of the world that you can actually fellowship with God? It's only in Christianity. You don't hear that in Islam. You don't hear it in Judaism or Buddhism or Hinduism. There is nothing like fellowship with God. It's only in Christianity. What a privilege. What a great honor. God wants us to know him through encounters. I have heard of thee, Job said, by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. You may doubt what you heard about God, but you cannot doubt it when you encounter him. When your eyes see him, when you see him in his word, when you see him through encounters with the Holy Ghost, you cannot doubt that one. Are you listening? Why is it that many Christians compromise? They compromise because their faith is weak. Why is their faith weak? Because they have not yet encountered God. They've not yet encountered. All they know is God that they were told. The one they were told from the pulpit by preachers. The one they read in books. The one they were told by friends, families, etc. But they've never come to know him through encounters. And that's why their faith is weak. It is through encounters that your conviction becomes concretized. See, you encounters create rock solid convictions beyond every iota of doubt. You become fully persuaded about the reality of God and his word through encounters. Am I communicating? Magalo Frahatila Jali Kobura Katia. Daniel 11:32b. For the people that do know their God, not those that know about their God, not those that they were told by someone somewhere about their God, the people that do know their God experientially, those who are intimate with their God. I told you the Hebrew word translated know there is the Hebrew word yada. It's the same word used for sexual intercourse. In Genesis 4 verse 1, the Bible says, and Adam knew his wife. Is that word knew is yada,
And then she conceived, she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. The same word, Yada. So it's not just head knowledge about God. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking of experiential knowledge. The times that come, the type that comes through intimacy with God. The type that comes through fellowship, intimate knowledge, deep acquaintance with him. Intercourse. The people that are deeply acquainted with their God through fellowship. The people that have intimate knowledge of their God. The people that have intercourse. And you know, there is usually, when a man is intimate with his wife, there is usually proof in form of pregnancy. There are evidences to show for the intimacy. It's just a matter of time. The pregnant, you know, nobody can hide pregnancy. It's just a matter of time. The thing will start coming out. And then they give birth to a baby. Another human being is born. And there is joy and gladness. That is how it is. If it is true that you know God intimately, that intimacy, that intercourse, that fellowship is going to produce fruits. There will be clear evidence in your life to show that you really know this God. If we look for those evidence of intimacy, if we cannot find them, then that means you don't truly know him. You only know about him. Exploit is a product of intimacy with God. Exploit. The people that do know their God shall be strong. This is why many Christians are weak. This is a problem with weak faith. Because people don't know God. They've not encountered him in his word and through the Holy Spirit. All they have is religion. They read Bible religiously. They go to church religiously. But they've not come to know God in reality for themselves. No wonder when the challenges of life rear their ugly head, when the problems of life rise up, many Christians, they throw away their faith. They compromise. Why? Because their conviction is weak. Their faith is weak. Why? Because they are bankrupt of deep and intimate knowledge of God, the type that come through encounters with him. Because encounters crystallize conviction. Encounters create conviction. Look at what Apostle Paul said, 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. I know him whom I have believed. I know him. Do you know him whom you have believed? Do you know him? I know him. Look at what Paul said. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Many Christians are ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He encountered this Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was a religious zealot. He was practicing Judaism with passion. Paul was a religious terrorist. He was like Boko Haram. You know, those people think they are fighting for God. Religious terrorist. Killing people thinking they are doing God worship. He made havoc of the church, playing religion everywhere until he encountered Jesus. And immediately he was no longer ashamed of preaching about Jesus. Why are we ashamed of doing evangelism? Why are we ashamed of telling our friends, families, the people in our wall, our sphere of contact about Jesus? It's because we've never met him. We've never encountered him in his word. All we have is theoretical knowledge about God. We've never encountered him through the Holy Spirit. So our conviction is weak. Paul said, I know him whom I have believed. I'm not ashamed to talk about him. I will talk about him anywhere, inside bus, inside Keke Napep, in class, in school, in my workplace, everywhere, in my family, in my neighborhood. When you really come to know God through encounter, you can never be quiet about him. The apostles say, we cannot but speak. the things which we have seen and we have heard. We didn't just hear, we saw it. He said we were eyewitness of His Majesty. They have encountered Him. Am I communicating? On the day of Pentecost, they had a supernatural visitation. They had an encounter. The Holy Ghost came like a rushing mighty wind. The Bible says that they appeared cloven tongues of fire. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They started blasting in tongues. The encounter was too real to be denied. Too real. Why do people deny Jesus? Because they only know about God. They only know about Him. They've not come to know Him experientially through encounters. I know Him whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. I am persuaded. I am fully persuaded. Beyond every iota of doubt, completely convinced about the reality of His person and existence. I'm not just serving Him because somebody told me about Him. I'm not even serving God because a preacher told me about God. I know Him whom I have believed. I am fully persuaded. I have encountered Him. Are you getting the point? Very important. Paleko vrakatai. So that your opinions and conviction about God will not be vacillating and oscillating. It is encounters that ensure that does not happen. Are you getting me? No matter the challenges, the problem, the suffering you are going through, it doesn't shake your faith. Your conviction is rock solid. You tell yourself, God is not God because he answered my prayer. Whether He answered my prayer or not, He is still my God. Whether there is food to eat in the house or not, He is still my God. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. I know my Redeemer liveth. Are you getting me? The people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. You can't do exploits when you are weak. When your conviction about God is weak, when your faith is weak, you can't do exploits. Exploits are supernatural results, attention commanding results, supernatural accomplishments, supernatural feats that catches it, grabs the attention of the whole world. It says exploits are the exclusive reserve of the strong. Am I communicating? You see, the world we live in our day and age, is such that the way things are going, the way Satan is coming up, inventing new ways, him and his demons, of sway, as in trying to sway the whole world away from the true God, is alarming. The strategies of the devil this end time is alarming. Are you aware? I think I read in the news not too long that the LGBTQIA community, this lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community, they have produced their own Bible. They call it Queen James Version. You have King James. My own is King James. Have King James. Now they have produced their own Bible. They call it what? Queen James. You see, this is the kind of world that we are living in. Imagine if you don't know God. See, the things that will happen this end time will shake your conviction. That's why you need to know God for yourself. You need to press in for an encounter. Are you getting me? Or else you will not survive with the shaking. Maleko barakataya. Now, they are now promoting. In the Western world, children in elementary school, equivalent of primary nursery school, they are now teaching something they call gender non-binary configuration. That's, let me explain, gender non-binary. That's, you know, gender, here we say, what's your gender? Male, female, right? There
You know, binary is two. Now they are now teaching that gender should not just be male or female. It's no longer binary. That's is non-binary. Are you getting me? It can be male, it can be female, it can be something else. It's non-binary and it's not permanent. That's what they are teaching. That's male can switch to female later, female can switch to male. You understand? That is a male can decide to do surgery, convert to female. They pump them with some drugs, and then when they get tired of being female, they can convert back to male. Say, Kai, no, I'm tired of this female thing. Let me go back to my former. You see the madness in the world. The worst part is that they are teaching children. They are beginning to indoctrinate them. Even they have textbooks to promote it. They have textbooks. I have a doctor friend, Dr. Malik, some of you know, is into all this media, YouTube stuff like that. In fact, when Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, came to Lagos some years back, he was among the people that he gave special award. YouTube company gave him for his works on YouTube. He was among the top 7 highest YouTubers in the world. He was telling me that there was this Western organization that they called him one day. They've been following his works on YouTube, so they called him, they contacted him. They now told him that they have a special conference, they need to train some people all across the world, and he's privileged to be one of the ones from Africa. That is all expenses paid for in Canada. They paid their flight ticket, their accommodation, everything, gave them some money. If they flew him, he went there. If I say the where they lodged him was not a 5-star hotel, it was a smart home. Do you know smart home? Some of you that attended government secondary school back in Chiawa, may God help your life. Do you know smart home? That's this kind of home that is customized, as in your voice is even what opened the door. Is that serious? Your name, as in the password, even the windows will not open if you are not the one that entered. The moment you enter like this, the door has this facial recognition. They've already configured it into the key. The moment it sees you, it opens for you. If it's not you, it will not open. And the moment you enter, the TV comes on automatically. The windows, everything just arranged. They call it smart homes. That was where they lodged him. And then when they now gathered them and started talking to them, he then realized that, is this lesbian, gay people, transgender people? They are the ones. They are looking for influencers, media influencers, people that have influence in media, so that they will use him, so that they will use him to influence Africans. You see, they made him an offer, hundreds of thousands of dollars that they are going to give to him if only we agree. He needs to help them to promote their agenda, their lesbian, gay, transgender agenda, because Africa is like the continent that is too stubborn for them. Because the average African culture frowns at things like that. The Western world have embraced it to a large extent. It's Africa that is giving the headache. So they are now looking for people they can influence, offering him serious money that he needs to carry out that kind of agenda. But he refused. And I thank God he refused. The people that, imagine if you are a believer and you get that car, after lodging you in smart home, flying you in first class, they flew in first class, one of the best airline, this what's they call it, British no not British Airways, this Ethiopian Emirates, you understand, feed you. Some Christians will have thrown away, say, who Jesus help, they will throw away Christianity. This is my password out of poverty. They will have accepted. They will have compromised their faith. He said the people that do know their God. See, it takes some level of encounters to deny such kind of offer. Are you listening? So many have denied their faith for a morsel of bread, because of money, because of position, because of political offices. They have compromised because of promotion. You see female secretary having affairs, sleeping around with their bosses, and they call themselves Christians because of favor, for the boss to do them favor, to promote them, to give them certain advantage. They are now offering their body to him. Why are they doing that? Because their Christianity lack conviction. Their faith is weak in the same God that they profess to serve. But scripture declares, the people that do know their God, they shall be strong. If you read about in church history, read about the martyrs of old, they would rather die than to deny their faith. Never. Their conviction was so strong. Some of them, they burnt them alive at stake. They will tell them, renounce Christ, reject Jesus, or we kill you. They will even be singing, then sings my soul. They are burning them. Isaac. Have you watched some of those movies? It's not this bread and butter Christianity we have to do. That small challenge. Someone is even threatening God. God, all my mates have married. She says she is praying. God, if you don't do something this year, 2023, if I don't marry, if you don't give me husband, I will backslide. Oh, you are threatening. When they born you, do you know him? Are you getting me? Because their Christianity lack conviction. Compromise. Some are even going to native doctor houses in search of solution. They go to church on Sunday. Problem hit. They enter native doctor house. Because they don't truly believe the God they serve can help them. Who you run to and where you run to in the day of trouble reveals where your faith and confidence lies. That's the truth. And if it is God indeed that your faith and confidence lies, you truly trust him, you will run to him, you will go to him in the day of trouble, not native doctor houses. How many Christian ladies are using Kaya Mata to get husband? Is it rub the powder? You do makeup, put eye pens, do it very well, so that when you see him, you will charm him. He will start loving you on the spot. Love at first sight. Because they don't believe God can give them husband. Can you imagine? What a slap. What a slap. The people that do know their God, they shall be strong. And they shall do what? Today we'll be looking at the platform for divine encounter, the principles and protocols. There are certain preparations you must make if you must encounter God, if you want to have divine encounters, whether it is encounters in his word, what we call word encounters, revelatory encounters in his word, or spectacular encounters, spectacular divine encounters in visions, in trances, in dreams, in revelation, encounters with angels, encounters with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with the spirit man made, spirit of just men made perfect. Any of those forms of encounters, there are certain preparations you must make. There are certain protocols and principles. Hallelujah. And let's look at the principles and protocols for divine encounters. Number one, you want to experience encounters? Number one principle and protocol is spiritual hunger. Somebody say spiritual hunger. Number one is, okay, principles and protocols of divine encounters. Okay, principles and protocols of divine encounter. Number one, spiritual hunger.
spiritual hunger. Spiritual hunger. Nobody ever encounters God casually. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Your whole heart must thirst and pant after him. What is spiritual hunger? Spiritual hunger is defined as a deep and desperate desire. A deep and desperate desire for God. And a passionate longing for him. A deep and desperate desire for God. A passionate longing, yearning for him. Your heart is panting after him. It means more to you than life. This is the number one protocol of spiritual, so of divine encounters. Are you listening? And guess what? The Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. God specializes in filling hungry hearts. He specializes in filling hungry hearts. Are you listening? He filleth the longing soul. Check throughout scriptures, the people that had great encounters with God, they were desperately desirous of him. They were passionately longing and yearning after him. Their hearts were panting for him wholeheartedly. Are you listening? You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When you are serious about it. You've got to be serious. Your whole heart must be involved. Are you getting me? You don't encounter God casually. The Bible says when Jacob was left alone, there are times that you need to be alone with God. There are times that you need to let go of the distractions in this world. There are times you need to turn off the TV, turn off your phone, put it. Are you getting me? You separate yourself from the noise and the hustle and bustles in this world. You separate yourself from people. And the Bible says you begin to seek God wholeheartedly. You begin to yearn and pant after him. Am I communicating? Look at David the psalmist, Psalm 42 verse 1. Psalm 42 verse 1. It says, as the hart, the deer, pant after the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God. This is spiritual hunger, spiritual thirst. This time around, you are not hungry for physical food. You are not thirsty for physical water. You are hungry for God himself. You are thirsty for God. God becomes your one and only desire. Are you listening? God becomes your heart desire. Malakubalakataya. This is the way to encounters. Your heart is reaching out for him. My soul panted after thee, O God. Verse 2. He says, my soul thirsted for God. My soul thirsted for God. Mandabora balagidas. My soul is in hot pursuit of God. My soul, I think it was, is it Tom Penny that wrote a book, God Chasers? How many of you know of that book, God Chasers? My soul thirst, pant after God. The psalmist said, my heart followeth hard after you. Are you listening? Some are in hot pursuit of money. From morning till evening, they are pursuing money. And the more they are pursuing, chasing after money, the more money will be running away from them. That's is the rat race of life. Why don't you pursue this God? This God will give you more money than you can ever need. He says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things others are dying to get shall be added, including money. Some are chasing after boyfriend, girlfriend, morning till evening, 247.
Some are chasing after human beings for connection, for contract, all manner of things, at the expense of the God they serve. You know, there are people that wait from morning till night to see governor, yet they don't see him. They will tell them, ah, governor is busy, you know, please come tomorrow. They will come tomorrow, wait again, morning till night. They will still tell them another story. Why don't you spend that time with God? The governor was created by God, and the heart of a king is in the hand of the Lord. Listen, the widow woman that lost her husband, in Luke 18 verse 1, he spake a parable unto them, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he gave a story of a widow woman that kept coming, avenge me of my adversary. She didn't have connection. She didn't have human connection. She didn't know anybody. She came to a wicked just judge, but by the persistence in prayer, the judge had no choice than to answer. Listen, even if you don't know anybody, even if you don't have human connection, know God and learn to pray to Him. He will move the heart of men. He will move people. He will shake the whole place until your answers come, until the questions in your heart are answered. Are you getting me? Learn to spend time with Him. Go back. It says Psalm 42, we are reading verse 2. Alabako said, my soul tested for God, for the living God. Our God is not dead. When shall I come and appear before God? My soul tested for Him. Give me Psalm 63. David the psalmist again. Look at Psalm 63 from verse 1. It says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Listen, spiritual hunger is one of God's love language. It's a love language. Spiritual hunger and thirst is a love language. Are you getting me? It's a love language. If you truly love God, you will be God hungry. You will be God thirsty. You will pursue Him. What you pursue is proof positive of what you truly love, what you truly desire, what is your heart desire. Are you getting me? How do we know what you truly love and desire? Find out what comes to your mind early in the morning. The thoughts that come to your mind early in the morning when you wake up, who do you think about? Are you getting me? Who do you seek early morning? Whom do you seek? For some people, it's social media, Facebook, WhatsApp, TikTok, this one, that one. That's your lover. That's your heart's desire. That's your sweetheart. For some, it's sport, football, this one, that one. What you seek early in the morning is an acid test that reveals to us who you truly love, who your heart desire, or what your heart desire is. But for David the psalmist, he said, oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. In other words, I am madly in love with you. Oh my God, you are my sweetheart, you are my heart desire. My soul tested after thee, my soul tested for thee, my flesh longeth for thee. You know, when a guy truly loves a lady, when he wakes up early in the morning, he will start thinking about her. The next thing, he will type text message, romantic message, he will send it to her. You understand? Before you know, he's calling her. Are you seeing that? Because he loves her. Think about it. What if it is God you are doing that to? Does he not want it far more than any boyfriend or girlfriend? Am I communicating? Thou art my God, early will I seek thee, not late. When you are hungry for God, you don't seek Him late. There are people that are always seeking God late. They will look for solution in all other places. They will forget God until when it is late. They will now say, oh God, do something. You should have sought Him first. Sometimes it's even too late, they die. Why don't you think of God first? Think of Him. Prioritize Him. Are you getting me? My soul tested for thee. My flesh, watch this, He said, my soul thirsted for thee, my flesh longed for thee. That even his body, his flesh, was longing for God in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Because it's not water he's looking for. He's looking for God. It's not physical water. To see, verse 2, thy power and thy glory, as I have seen thee in what? Sanctuary. Spiritual hunger. All the encounters I have had were byproduct of spiritual hunger. Do you know spiritual hunger is currency in the realm of the spirit? Give me Isaiah. We'll come back. Okay, before then, let me show you something. Manda Baba. Spiritual hunger is currency for exchange, for spiritual transaction in the realm of the spirit. You know, there's what we call the law of exchange. For anything to leave the realm of the spirit and appear in this realm, there must be an exchange. An exchange must be provided. And one of such exchange is spiritual hunger. Are you getting me? It's a potent currency for transaction. Very potent. Very potent. Very, very potent. Give me verse 8. That Isaiah 63. Look at verse 8. My soul followeth hard. Verse 8. My soul. Okay. Isaiah. Is that. Sorry. Psalm 63. Not Isaiah. Psalm 63, verse 8. My soul followeth hard after thee. My soul followeth hard. Are you a hard follower of God? Are you a hard chaser of God? Are you a passionate lover of God? My soul followeth hard after thee. Stop following hard after things that God created, including money. Stop following hard after human beings that God created. Stop following hard after the Creator, and He will bring to you all other things you will ever need, and all other human beings and connection and destiny helper you will ever need. Are you listening? My soul followed hard after thee. Now give me Isaiah 55 verse 1. Isaiah 55 verse 1. He said, oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that had no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. You are not buying with physical cash. You are not buying with physical cash. So if you are not buying with physical cash, what are you going to use for the transaction? You are not using physical money, cash, naira, dollars, euros, pounds, sterling, because it is not a physical transaction. It is a spiritual transaction. And you use the spiritual currency called thirst and hunger. That's what you use to buy. That's why I call it one of the laws of exchange. It's what you exchange. Just like you exchange physical money for value, you exchange hunger for encounter. For encounter to happen, for you to encounter God, there must be spiritual hunger in place. That's the currency you use for that exchange. Are you getting me? Maliko Bosata. Everyone that tasted, come you to the waters. He that had no money, come buy, eat. He come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Verse 2. He said, wherefore do you spend money on that which is not bread? And you labor for that which satisfies not. Do you know only God can satisfy you? There is a God-shaped vacuum in every human soul, every human heart, that only God himself can fill. In every human spirit, there is a God-shaped vacuum. Hearkening diligently unto me. Eat that which is good. Let your soul delight in fatness. Can you shout amen? Spiritual hunger. John chapter 7, verse 37. Spiritual hunger. This is the number one principle or protocol Number one law of encounter is what I'm showing you. Spiritual hunger. This is what will make you to separate yourself from all that distracts and passionately seek after God and pant after Him. You desire Him more than life itself. Praise God. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, in other words, there is a standing invitation to the thirsty, a standing invitation to encounter God. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And then he says, verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Psalm 107 verse 9, the Bible says, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He satisfieth the hungry soul. Are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for his presence? Are you hungry for his power? He says he's going to satisfy hungry souls. In Isaiah 44 verse 3, he said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon dry ground. Even impartations cannot happen without spiritual hunger. You can't encounter God until spiritual hunger is in place. It is this hunger that will push you to prayer, push you to fasting, push you to start feeding, studying. Are you getting me? The word. Is this hunger that sponsors all other things that you do? You are propelled by this hunger. And hunger for God that cannot be conquered. An unquenchable hunger. I love that prayer of Smith Wigglesworth. He said, Lord, let me be satisfied with the dissatisfaction in you that needs to be satisfied again and again and again. Oh, what a prayer. What a prayer. In fact, do you know, you stop growing spiritually the moment your spiritual hunger begins to die. Go and check believers that have this unquenchable hunger for God, that their hunger keeps increasing by the day. Check their lives. They keep growing. They keep increasing. Their spiritual growth, development, and transformation is rapid compared to those that have lost their hunger. When you lose your hunger for God, you start backsliding. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, my blessing upon thy offspring, and then they shall spring forth. Isaiah 41 verse 10. No, 17. Isaiah 41, 17. Give me 17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue filleth for taste, I, the Lord, will hear them. Hallelujah. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Next verse. What will God do? Look at his response. I will open rivers, the rivers of the Spirit, the rivers of the anointing. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. See, listen. The Holy Spirit will never ignore sincere hunger. Never. A heart that is sincerely hungry for Him, that is desirous of Him, He will fill the hungry hearts. He will satisfy the longing soul. Am I communicating? The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is at taste come. Let him that is spiritually thirsty come. He said, come and drink of the river of life. This is the number one protocol. You want to have encounters, you must be God hungry. You must be God thirsty. You know, there is a level of hunger that you forget about food. Food does not even cross your mind. Because your spiritual hunger for God and His presence has far exceeded your physical hunger for food. That is the point that you encounter God. You see, hunger is like a magnet. It pulls God in your direction. Are you getting me? It's like a magnet that attracts divine presence. God specializes in filling hungry hearts. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 say, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." With all your heart. Some of us, it is movies we are seeking. It is soap operas we are seeking. Other things. But God says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." I like the way the Message translation put it. Look at the Message translation. It says, "When you come looking for me, you will find me." Yes, when you get serious. Let me tell your neighbor, get serious. He said, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else. I wish we will pursue this God with the same passion and zeal we pursue money. I wish Nigerians will chase God with the same passion and zeal they pursue money and connections. Your life will have been changed far better than this. The second protocol and principle for divine encounter is the altar of prayer. The altar of prayer, prayers plus fasting. Praise God. It starts with spiritual hunger. And when you are God hungry, when you are God thirsty, and your heart begins to pant after Him, long after you desire Him desperately, the next thing, it pushes you to the place of prayer. You begin to seek Him in prayer. Am I communicating? You begin to seek Him in prayer. The altar of prayer is the altar of encounters, divine encounters. Divine encounters happen in the place of prayer. Kalidoborakapata. The place of prayer is the headquarters of divine encounters. Are you listening? Give me Luke chapter 1 verse 8. Luke chapter 1 verse 8. Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 1 verse 8. Look at 1 verse 8. Luke 1. Look at the story of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. He was a priest. In fact, both of them, Zechariah, both parents of John the Baptist, Zechariah and his mother Elizabeth, were from the lineage of priesthood. And it came to pass that while he, Zechariah, executed the priest office. You know, we just finished a series, The Power of Priestly Sacrifices. You say one of the sacrifices you offer as a priest is a sacrifice of prayer and intercession, right? It's one of the priestly duties, one of the disciplines and demands of priesthood is prayer and intercession. So while the priest called Hezekiah, Zechariah. I beg your pardon. When the priest Zechariah executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, look at what happened. Verse 9. According to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Next verse, verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without. They were praying outside at the time of incense. Next verse. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And then what did the angel say? Verse 12. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Verse 13. He said, but the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Can you shout amen? The angel was sent with the answer to their prayer. They've been barren for years. Am I communicating? And the angel appeared when he was executing the priest office, at the time they were offering incense, the incense of prayer, on that altar the angel appeared on the right side. That was a spectacular divine encounter that happened on the altar of prayer. Are you listening? In Luke chapter 9 verse 29, Luke 9:29, you see another example. Jesus, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment became white and glistering. This is another divine encounter. The Passion Bible says his face began to glow with the glory of God. Are you getting me? This is another divine encounter Jesus had at the place of prayer, at the altar of prayer. Divine encounters happen. Next verse. And behold, there talked with him two men, Moses and Elias, next verse, who appeared in glory. Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the prophet. Both of them appeared in their glory. The spirit of judgment made perfect. He had encounters. He had an encounter, divine encounter, with the spirit of judgment made perfect at the place of prayer. The altar of prayer is the headquarters of encounters. Are you listening? All manner of encounter. In Luke chapter 22, you will see how Luke 22, when Jesus went to pray, verse 43, at the Garden of Gethsemane, just before he was arrested, the Bible says, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven. While he was praying at the Garden of Gethsemane, there appeared an angel. An angel appeared and strengthened him. And after the angel strengthened him, next verse, he started praying supernaturally. He started praying supernaturally to the point that he was in agony. He prayed more earnestly. His sweat was mixed with blood. He began to sweat. Sweat that was mixed with blood falling to the ground. Why? Because an angelic strengthener had strengthened him. Angel appearing to him, that is a divine encounter. Are you getting me? Never joke with prayers. Never joke with times of prayer. Never joke with prayer meeting. They are platforms for what? Divine encounters. Thank you, Father. In Genesis chapter 32:24, you see the story of Jacob. The Bible says when Jacob was left alone, he wrestled with a man. He wrestled in the place of prayer until the breaking of the day. And the angel of the Lord asked him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and power with men, and has prevailed. This wrestling is not physical wrestling. It's not WWW WrestleMania. No. Hosea the prophet showed us what happened. Give me Hosea chapter 12 verse 3 and 4. Hosea 12, 3 and 4. Look at Jacob. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Is this not what the angel told him? He says, for as a prince hast thou power with God and power with men, and has prevailed. Then look at verse 4. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel. Bethel is the house of God, and there he spake with us. Watch this. He had power over the angel. He prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto God. This is the interpretation of that. And he wrestled with a man until the breaking of the day. He's talking of prayer and supplication. The kind of prayer, not the type you are praying and you are eating biscuit or chewing chewing gum. Not that type you are praying and you are chatting on your phone or, you know, He said you wept. Your emotion is involved. Your entire heart is involved. Are you getting me? This is the kind of prayer that provokes divine encounters. Glory to God. Are you learning something? Thank you, Father. Barakoto frakata kabagada. Acts chapter 10 verse 1. Borosi vrehedila bakonde kila brakatanis. Beleteketeke brakata. The altar of prayer is the altar of divine encounters. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Verse 2. It says, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He prayed to God. He was a religious man, but he knew how to give alms to the poor. And then he was praying to God always. What was making him to pray? Somebody says spiritual hunger. That was what pushed him to the place of prayer. He knew that God was real. He had never met him. He had never encountered him. He wanted to know the true God. Next verse. And look at what happened. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day. The ninth hour is what time? 3 p.m., right? It's 3 p.m. An angel of God. That's even the time of the evening oblation, evening sacrifice. He saw an angel coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And what happened? When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? He said unto him, thy prayers and alms are come up for a memorial before God. Next verse. And now send men to Joppa. Call for one Simon whose son's name is Peter. He lodged with one Simon a tanner whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. He shall tell thee what you ought to do. He had an encounter, a divine encounter with an angel of the Lord that led him to Peter, to go and send for Peter. And then that was how Peter ministered the gospel to Cornelius and his household. They got born again, they got filled with the Holy Ghost. If you read the story later. But I want you to notice that this divine encounter with the angel of the Lord that led to his salvation and then receiving the Holy Ghost was provoked through his prayer and then given to the poor. Are you getting me? The altar of prayer is the altar. What of Daniel? Give me Daniel 2:17. The altar of prayer provokes divine encounter. Daniel 2:17. Are we there? Is it Daniel went to his house? The king had a dream. Nobody could interpret. In fact, the king made the matter worse. He said, I have dreamt a dream, very important dream. Nebuchadnezzar said, I dreamt and the thing is gone from me. I have forgotten. He said, so you, he gathered all the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the magicians, the soothsayer in the kingdom, all the wise men. He said, I had this very important dream. He knew that there is a message that dream conveys, carries a message, crucial one. But the problem is, I have forgotten the dream. He said, so you people will tell me the dream that I have dreamt and forgotten, and then you will now tell me the interpretation. He said, if you cannot tell me the dream, then that means you don't know the interpretation. He said, all of you are dead men. He even gave an order. When all the astrologers, the magician, they tried all their otumokbo, they couldn't get the answer. They told the king that, oh king Nebuchadnezzar, he said, no king in history has ever demanded this kind of thing from his people. He said, the answer you seek is not with mortal men. He said, it's with the gods. Only the gods can give you this answer. Only the gods can tell you the dream you have dreamt and forgotten. And the interpretation, he says, whose dwelling are not with men? That's the gods. The king got angry. He said, then what is your use? He gave an order. Arioch, kill all of them. So, when he gave that command, some people told Daniel, because Daniel was among the wise men. What? Daniel then went to his house. He told the commander that was giving the order to kill all the wise men. He said, please tell the king to give us more time. He desired more time. He said, we will get you the answer. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known. You need prayer partners. You need your own company that you pray together. He went and made it known. You need your own prayer company, people that can agree with you in prayer. You pray the prayer of agreement together. He made it known to Ananias, Mishael, Azariah, and his companion. Verse 18. That they will desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, and Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Verse 19. Then was, watch, listen. If you were sleeping, wake up. I know nobody is sleeping, sha. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. That was a divine encounter. On the altar of prayer, Daniel met his three friends. They prayed together. They asked, desired the mercies of God. And God came in a night vision and revealed the dream. Revealed that secret. He is the revealer of secrets. Daniel had a divine encounter. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Next verse. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever, for wisdom and might are his. Next verse. He changed the times and the seasons. He removed kings. He set up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Next verse. He revealed the deep and secret things. Can you shout amen? God is a revealer of secrets. There is no secret that the Holy Spirit will not search out and reveal. He knoweth what is in darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Are you listening? I told you the story of this American scientist, black man, George Washington Carver, that he went before God carrying soybean seed. He said, Lord, in prayer, he said, Lord, help me to see this seed the way you see them when you created it. And long story cut short, he came up with 360 inventions from soybean seed. Why? Because he encountered God. God gave you, see, our encounter is either with the dimension of Christ as the power of God or Christ as the wisdom of God. He had an encounter with the wisdom of God that gave him insight into mysteries and secrets. He could come up with 360 inventions from soybean seed. These soybeans that you are eating. Somebody made 360 inventions from it. Somebody said divine encounters. Do you know there are treasures hidden in the sand? This sand that you are marching on every day. You can pack this sand and go before God. Lord, open my eyes to see something. You can become a multi-billionaire just from some discoveries. Are you getting me? There are so many sickness with no cure. We are the kingdom scientists, kingdom inventors that we go before God on the altar of prayer. Let God open their eyes, grant them insight into mysteries and secrets. Are you getting me? We trust God for that. We will see more of this end time. The owner of RG Motors, is it RG Motoroni? The guy went before God in prayer. The guy never went to school, but he knew how to pray. And this guy will come up, he will scribble engine, shape of engine and cars, and come up with it from the place of prayer and show the engineers, some of them are professors, that he hired to work for him. He said, I saw this, can you make something like this? Make an engine like this, make a car like this. Sometimes they will make it, they will say, no, it's too big, this is not what I saw. Make it exactly, reduce the shape. This is somebody that didn't go to school. Ayagabarakataya. There is a kind of wisdom that you don't get from the four corners of your institution, from the university. Joseph, tell me the school Joseph went to. I'm not saying education is bad. It has its place. But the wisdom of God is greater than education. Joseph never went to secular school, yet the Bible says he was teaching the senators in Egypt wisdom. He became, he rose to become prime minister. God used him to come up with a 14-year agro-economic plan that bailed Egypt and the whole world from perishing during those 7 years of famine. Somebody say the wisdom of God. How did Joseph know how to preserve tomatoes for 7 years? How did he know how, and there were no refrigerators then. How did he know how to preserve Aleph? Somebody said the wisdom of God. Ayayayayaya. Kitobola bagadia. David was too young to join the military, but who brought down Goliath? His three eldest brother, Eliab, Shammah, Abinadab, they were in King Saul's army. But when they saw Goliath came, they chickened out in fear, retreated into caves and hideout, including King Saul, who was head and shoulder taller than every man in Israel, until a 17-year-old stripling called David, who had been trained in the backside of the desert. He was trained by the Holy Spirit. He said, he teached my hands to war and my fingers to fight, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. He showed up. He said, I will take this guy. I will cut off your head. And he did the impossible, what no man could do. He solved a national problem. And in one day, he became a national phenomenon. His name was ringing. They were singing his name in every household in Israel. Even the women were singing, David, Saul has slain 1,000. David has slain 10,000. He became famous overnight. Somebody say divine encounters. You will never see a general arise in this kingdom that is not a product of divine encounters with God. For the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Daniel 9:21, the Bible talked about how Daniel was seeking the face of God in prayer. Yeah, while I was speaking in prayer, this Daniel, even the man Gabriel, angel Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly. The altar of prayer is the altar of divine encounters. Angelic encounters can happen. Can you see? He said he was caused to fly and touch me about the time of the evening oblation. What's the time of evening oblation? It's 3 p.m. You now see why AGM meets by 3 p.m. And some of you don't show up by 3. Angels are already here. You don't know. Angels keep to time. What? Once you say 3 p.m., they are already here. So that they wonder, they see sons of men strolling still. That's when they are doing makeup at home. That's when they are even taking their bath. They say, don't these people know that this meeting, Angel A will tap Angel B? So why are they not here? You understand? The altar of prayer is the altar of divine encounters. Daniel said he was praying by 3 p.m. and the angel Gabriel was caused to fly swiftly. The energy for flight was supplied by his prayer. The speed of the flying, even the speed of the flight. Are you getting me? Next verse 22. And he informed me and talked with me and said, oh Daniel, I am come for to give this skill and understanding. There are angels that can give you skill, they can give you understanding beyond the one you learned in school, beyond the one that the expert taught you. Are you getting me? Angels can give you skill and understanding if you know how to pray, if you know how to provoke these divine encounters on the altar of prayer. Very powerful. Balaga bagada. And then if you check Daniel chapter 10, you will see when Daniel prayed and fasted for 21 days, and then Angel Gabriel showed up again, and then Angel Gabriel was coming with the answer, the prince of Persia will lead him. He continued in fasting and prayer, and then that led to angelic reinforcement. Angel Michael, the archangel, showed up and came and remedied the situation. And then Angel Gabriel brought the answer to Daniel. Are you listening? That's Daniel 10:1-21. Long reading. So you learn to pray, you learn to fast. Let spiritual hunger push you to the place of prayer. Let it push you to the place of fasting. Are you listening? And then divine encounters happen. I told you how, as a medical student in Bank Road Hostel, in my final year, either 500 or 600 level, at a point I became hungry for God. I just knew there was more. There was this hunger for more. I wanted more of God in my life. I just wanted more of His presence. I was just praying. That hunger pushed me to the place of prayer. Sometimes I would pray from morning to afternoon, morning to evening sometimes. And then one of those days, I just finished praying. I came back. I laid on my bed. I was still meditating. Bam! I just had this open vision. I saw Catherine Kuhlman came in and started worshiping and started talking to me about the healing ministry and started giving me some secrets to the supernatural. And when she finished everything, she now laid on my bed where I was laying, and then the whole vision lifted and my life shifted to another dimension. I told you of an encounter I had with an angel that from top of the chest upward look like a woman, from top of the chest downward look, it was fire shaped in woman form, and he held my hand and put it in the fire where it was burning. Instantly my right hand began to burn. These are encounters that came on the platform of prayer, the altar of prayer. Are you listening? Poteke barakataya. There was a time I went to that Living Faith bookshop, got some videos of a man of God with a mighty healing ministry. I was watching that video, and then I said, God, I want something like that. I saw the glory of God, the manifestation of the Spirit, demonstration of God's power, all manner of miracles, healings happening, and I was watching with hunger in my heart. How do you even listen to messages? Do you listen passively, half-heartedly? Some of you, as you say, you are listening to message, watching message. Half of your mind is there, half is not there. How can you have encounter that way? You are not serious. There must be full engagement of your heart. He said, who has engaged his heart to seek him? My whole heart was panting while I was watching them. Something electric was fired into me. I had a divine encounter that day. Suddenly, as if my whole body was connected to electricity. And then it's as if they poured drums of fire on me. Hot water. I don't know whether it was hot water or fire, or fire mixed with hot water. Alagabada. I was on the floor weeping, crying. Palakataya. Imbreketekete. Are you listening? You learn to pray with hunger. You learn to fast with hunger. You say, oh Lord my God, any will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My heart cries out for thee. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. The third platform is the word of God. Receiving the word of God. Receiving God's word. Receiving God's word. Receiving God's word. How? See, it matters the attitude with which you receive the word of God. Even when you study the word of God, when you read, when you study, you must do it with undivided attention. You must meditate. It says, my son, Proverbs 4:20, incline, it says, incline your ears to my saying. Let them not depart from your heart. My son, attend to my word. Give God's word your undivided attention. Whether you are studying it, whether you are reading it alone at home, or you are listening to message, or you are receiving the word of God in church, just like you are receiving now, or in a program, or in a meeting, let your whole heart be involved. Give it your undivided attention. Nobody ever encounters God without focus. It takes a focused, repetitive approach to receive encounters from God. Are you getting me? Verse 21, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of their eyes. 22, they are life to those that find them. And I told you, the Hebrew word find there is the Hebrew word matzah. Matzah means to encounter. That means the word of God can provoke supernatural encounter when you receive it with the right attitude. Are you getting me? They are life to those that find them. You find it by revelation. That word find means to encounter the word. You encounter the personality of the word. You encounter, you meet him. Are you getting me? You discover him by revelation. And health, that word you have found will now become health to all your body. That word can heal your body, can check out sickness and disease. Am I communicating? There is a sent word. He sent forth his word. Psalm 107 verse 20. He sent, that word is on a mission. And that word healed them and delivered them from their destruction. You must learn to receive the word of God with the right attitude. The right attitude of honor. Honor for the God of the world. Honor for his anointed vessel that he is using to bring that word for you. You must receive the word of God with the right attitude of faith, meekness, gladness. Drop your opinion. Comply with God's opinion. That's called humility. Am I communicating? Don't hold on religiously and stubbornly to your own opinion. When the word of God is staring you in the face, drop your opinion like hot potato and embrace the word. Are you getting me? This is how you can enjoy divine encounters in the word. The word coming to you. I was in Canaan land. I think it's 2012. I was led to go for Shiloh, Canaan land. And then I you have to wake up very early. You see, as early as 4:30, in fact 4 a.m., 5 a.m., people are already at the door because they usually lock the door to the venue. That's Faith Tabernacle then. You know, you will see a crowd already. So if you come late, self, you will be behind. They have not opened church. Everybody is waiting for them to open. The moment, I think it's by 5:30 or so, the moment they open, it's like Olympic race competition. Tuku, 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 everybody is running to go and get good seat. I ran and ran with all my running. It was the sixth row I got. I got sixth row. So Bishop Oyedepo was preaching, I will never forget, one of those nights, he was talking of the spirit of faith. As he was talking, my heart was set. My focus, I was just looking at, my heart was reaching out, panting. And then, bam, I had an encounter. Something electric was fired into me. I knew it when the thing dropped. Ayagabarakataya. That spirit of faith he was preaching about entered me, and immediately I could not see impossibilities again. Impossibilities became nothing. My mind began to think outside the box. All things are possible. The things that used to look like mountains before me, they started looking like molehills. The spirit of faith. I started daring the undareable. Kalido Barakataya. Mandres Kotekida. Are you listening? Encounters don't happen casually. How do you listen to God's word? When you come for meetings like this, when you come for church service, you come for glory service, what is your attitude? Are you focused? Are you expectant? It matters the way you receive the word, because it will determine whether it will work for you or not. Paul talked about the Thessalonians. He said they received the word not as the word of men, but as the word of God. And because of that, the word worked effectually in them. Are you listening? Glory to God. Give me 1 Thessalonians 2 verse verse 13. Look at this. Verse 13. I like this. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us," he said, what happened? "You receive it not as the word of men." You see, you can receive God's word coming to you, God's word being taught, being preached by anointed vessel. You can receive it as word of men. You can just take it. If there is a possibility, you can take it as a preacher's opinion. But if you take it that way, it will not produce anything. You will encounter nothing. He said they did not receive it as Apostle Paul's opinion, not as a preacher's opinion, especially when the man of God is showing you proof from scriptures. He says, "But as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe, until you receive it with the right attitude of honor, of reference, of faith." You receive it as the word of God, as reality, as a message sent from God direct to you. He said, the word will not work in your life. You will not encounter the power that comes with it. Glory to God. Unto us, Hebrews 4 verse 2, was the word preached as well as unto them. The word preached did not profit them, being not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Are you listening? You must receive the word with the right attitude. You must mix it with faith for you to encounter God through its word, in his word. The fourth platform, protocol, principle of divine encounter is what I call church gatherings or meetings. You can call it programs, you can call it conferences, you can call it crusades, you can call it etc. I just gave you an example of how I encountered the spirit of faith, that impartation from Shiloh. That was a church meeting, that was a convention. Are you getting me? When you come for glory service, when you come for festival of fire, when you come for meetings like this, you should know that this is a divine platform for encounters. Are you listening? Hey, see, going to church every Sunday is not a religious routine. Mm-mm. It's not a religious obligation. Mm-mm. It's an opportunity to encounter God in that meeting. Anytime you are coming for meetings, for programs, for services, are you listening? Don't come with a religious mentality that you are going to attend a religious gathering. It's not another religious session. Mm-mm. It's a platform. It's a God-ordained platform for you to encounter him. So you come with that mindset and you don't miss meetings like that. Are you getting me? Hebrews 12 verse 22, he said, "Ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, unto the heavenly Jerusalem." Can you see? Mount Zion there is prophetic of the church. He's talking of church gathering. He said, "You are come unto the." He didn't say a religious gathering. He didn't say a religious congregation that came together. Mm-mm. He said, "You are come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God." Are you aware God lives in the church? He said, "The heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." Do you know there are angels here right now? It's a platform for divine encounter. Next verse. So do it with the right understanding. He said, "To the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God the judge of all." Look at those in attendance in church meetings. Angels are there. God is there. "To the spirit of just men made perfect." Even the spirit of just men made perfect. I've told you before, there was a day God opened my eye. I saw Maurice Cerullo, mighty general. He has gone home to be with the Lord. He came for one of our services. We were still at College of Accountancy then. There are meetings I've seen Papa Abraham in attendance. AGMI meetings. Their meetings have seen even Catherine Kuhlman in attendance. They are spirits of just men made perfect. We are not alone. Are you listening? They came with things we need to release impartation, graces, mantles, anointings for as many that are discerning enough and are hungry enough to receive them. Next verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things. That is, even Jesus is in attendance. It speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. That's the blood of Jesus. Give me 1 Corinthians 14:26. Look at what Apostle Paul said concerning the church at Corinth. He said, when you come together, 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? That's a church meeting. When you come together, where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, there am I in their midst. And if his presence is there, divine encounters can happen. He said, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. He said, let all things be done unto edifying. In other words, all these encounters can happen when we come together. Are you listening? This is why sometimes you don't sit at home and expect some things to happen. You have to come to church. You have to come where God's people are gathered. Are you listening? Because it is a platform for you to encounter God. It's a platform for you to encounter God, the body of Christ. Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. Yet Jesus directed him to Ananias, one of the disciples. He said, he shall told you what you must do. Why didn't Jesus tell him? Are you listening? There are things that Jesus will still not tell you, even if he appears to you physically. He will direct you to the body of Christ. Malakota balakataya is a platform to encounter God. Then the last one I will give. Okay. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Genesis 28. Before the last one, Genesis 28 verse. You remember the story of verse 10. Genesis 28 verse 10. The Bible says, Jacob went out from Beth Sheba and went towards Haran. Next verse. It says, he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. The sun was set, and he took the stones of that place, put them for his pillows, and lay down there in that place to sleep. Let's see what happened when he slept. And he dreamed, okay, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. This is a divine encounter he had in his dream while he was sleeping on those stones. Okay, those stones were actually altars that were built by his great-grandfather. That's Papa Abraham. Next verse. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of thy father. Of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Next verse. He said, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's the blessing of Abraham. Next verse. And behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Next verse. And Jacob awake out of his sleep. He had an encounter with God. He awoke out of that sleep. He said, surely, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. May you not be ignorant of God's presence. Next verse. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but what? The house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Do you know, this is the first time the word house of God appeared in the Bible. This is the first time. a place of encounter. What does that show you? The house of God is a place of divine encounter. Are you listening? He put his head on pillow to sleep, and then he saw that ladder. Angels ascending, descending. The Lord stood on it and announced to him, I'm the God of your forefathers, your father and forefather, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he proclaimed the blessing of Abraham. The house of God is the gate of heaven. The house of God is the closest place to heaven. The gate of heaven. Next verse. Jacob rose up early in the morning and put the stone, put for pillow set up, and then pour oil upon it. 19. Look at this. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. Now watch this. Even the name changed. The name of the city is Luz, but he called that place where those stones were that he used for pillow, that he later poured oil on it, that place that he had divine encounter, he called it Bethel, meaning the house of God. So let me tell you, neighbor, the house of God is the place for divine encounters. Encounters with God, encounters with angels, encounters with Jesus through his word and through his spirit. So stop missing meetings in the house of God. The last one, another platform for divine encounter is prophetic encounters with the anointed. Meeting with the anointed. Prophetic meeting with God's anointed. Praise God. God's anointed. This is another platform for divine encounter that many people don't know. Look up. God's method are men. God uses his men to reach out to other men. God will anoint a man and put the solution to your problem upon him in form of the anointing upon him. Jesus said in Matthew 10:41, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. That prophet's reward is the grace and the anointing upon the prophet. That grace and anointing can produce what money can buy, what money cannot buy, including money itself. Are you listening? You can have divine encounter provoked by you meeting God's anointed. Prophetic meetings. Kalido Barakataya, Brandos Ketila. Give me 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 15. 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 15. The Syrian host have come to encompass the hills and the mountains that the prophet and his servant. 2 Kings 3:15. Is it 3? 2 Kings 6:15. 2 Kings 6:15. It says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host, that's the host, the Syrian host, compassed the city, both with horses and chariot. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? That's talking to Prophet Elisha. Next verse. And he answered, Prophet Elisha answered, he said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Next verse. And Elisha prayed, watch this, he said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was what? Full of what? Horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, with what he saw, will he still be afraid of the Syrian host? But did you notice that the servant of the prophet was able to have this prophetic encounter, this divine encounter of his eyes being opened to the realm of the spirit, him seeing angels, chariot of fire surrounding Elisha, because the prophet prayed for him. He said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Don't joke with the prayers of the anointed over your life, it can push you and launch you into the realms of divine encounters. Are you listening? I will never forget, there's this lady in Abuja, I think she's married now. There was a meeting, I was invited to preach in Abuja some years back. And then in the meeting, there was a word for her. I prayed for her, laid hands on her. I said, God is releasing an anointing for favor and all of that. And then after the meeting, she later told me that almost everywhere she was going, prophets will be telling her, what is this I'm seeing? He said, I'm seeing a hand on your head. That they are seeing a hand, like the hand of the Lord on your head. Sir, see favor. So now she was open to that encounter because I prayed and laid my hands on her. Are you seeing this? And then she said doors started opening, including marital doors. She is settled now, married with a baby. Are you getting me? Divine encounters with the anointed. Prophetic meeting. See, the anointed of God is a helper of your joy. It's not part of your problem. It's a ministry gift from the heart of Christ to you. Learn to take advantage. In 1 Samuel 10 from verse 1 to 3, you will see that prophetic encounter in which Saul, the son of Kish, was looking for his father's missing asses and donkey. And then he meandered his way and collided with prophet prophet Samuel. And then he said, you are looking for your father's missing donkey. God is looking for a king to put over his people who are demanded for a king, and you are the person. He carried the oil and anointed him. He said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you as captain over his inheritance? And then he started listing some encounters he will have. He said, as you leave me, so will start happening. Go and study the whole thing. And then the Bible said, that same day, all these signs came to pass. Why? He encountered the anointed, and it opened him. In fact, in that day itself, he started prophesying with the prophets. The Spirit of God came upon him mightily when he met a band of prophets coming from the hill of God, and he started prophesying with them. People started asking, is Saul, the son of Kish, donkey seeker, is he also among the prophets? He had prophetic encounters. Who launched him into those realms of encounter? An impartation from Prophet Samuel. Are you listening? Kalabako Sabalataya. Brandoko Sagadia. Encounters are the most prized possessions in the realm of the spirit. They are the most prized possession. Never take them lightly. In that same 1 Samuel 19, 18 to 24. 1 Samuel 19, 18. We'll stop here. 19, 18 to 24. You will see the story of when King Saul sent some people to arrest David, right? He sent some people to arrest David, and then David fled and escaped. He came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth. Next verse. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah. Look at what happened. Verse 20. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, look at what happened. Samuel standing as they appointed over them. The Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. Can you see this? Prophetic impact by reason of that atmosphere. See, atmospheres have prophetic implication. David was in Naioth Ramah, where Prophet Samuel lived. The moment those messengers Saul sent to arrest David, the moment they stepped into the Ramah radius, they became implicated. They started prophesying. Next verse 21. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers. They prophesied likewise. My God. Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Next verse. Then went he also to Ramah. This time around, Saul decided to go himself. He came to a great well that is in Shechem, and he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And they said, behold, they are at Naioth in Ramah. Next verse. And he went thither to Naioth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied. Somebody that came with evil intention to arrest and kill David, he prophesied until he came to Naioth in Ramah. Anybody that steps into the Ramah radius comes under that environmental anointing. Atmospheres have prophetic implication. 24. And he stripped off all his clothes, also prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all day, all night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets? Rise to your feet. Kalababasha. These are the principles, protocols. You want to experience divine encounter? I just showed you how, by the help of the Holy Spirit. These are the platforms. These are the necessary things you need to do, preparation, as we prepare for tomorrow. Tomorrow is our day of divine visitation. Come hungry. Come with spiritual hunger. The Lord has told us to come with at least 7 expectations. 7 things you want God to do for you in this second half of the year. 7 prayer requests. You can go more than 7. And then the Lord instructed me to pray and anoint everybody with oil. I'll be anointing people with the anointing oil. Come with your whole family. Adult, children, elderly, everybody. I'm telling you, God is said to do mighty things. Give me Genesis chapter 21 verse 1. It's a season of divine encounters, prophetic encounters, divine visitation. The Lord visited Sarah as he has said. The Lord did unto Sarah as he has spoken. What have God said to you concerning this year? The season of divine visitation is also the season of supernatural performance. One of the sevenfold prophetic blessing God told us is that this is our season of divine performance. I want you to lift up your voice. Say, Father, in this season, visit me. Let me encounter you. Perform your good word concerning my life. Let it be a season of divine visitation, prophetic encounters, divine encounters, encounters in your word, encounters by the Holy Spirit, encounters, prophetic encounters, visionary encounters, encounters in dreams, in visions, in revelations. Turn around my captivity. Give me a change of story. Supernaturally shift me to another dimension. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He said, because they could not design the hour of their visitation.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glowy generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.